Well, I mean, basically what we're seeing is a continuation of the pattern of excessive use of force in policing. The military, very early on in the year, disrupted a number of peaceful protests using excessive force. There were some subsequent protests where protesters retaliated by throwing stones. But the one factor in common that has been the case throughout has been the fact that the military has always responded with excessive force. They have not at any point applied proportionate force in terms of dealing with any violence that may occur during the protests themselves. Their use of force has resulted in the deaths of a number of protesters on this occasion, over 10 on previous occasions. The use of live gunfire for the most part. But the very big difference in this case is the fact that it's military officers themselves who are perpetrating a lot of the violence and the attacks, including attacks on women protesters and on journalists in particular. So this is of very serious concern also politically in terms of the response and the denial of any wrongdoing on the part of the military that we've had so far.
Now, is Human Rights Watch documenting these allegations of the excessive force being used by the military on these unarmed protesters?
Yes, I mean, this is something that is a very serious concern to us throughout. And we believe that moving forward, the behavior of law enforcement officers, whether or not Egypt manages to reform law enforcement officers, including both military officers and police officers, will be key to whether or not there can be a successful transition in Egypt. So for us, this is a priority to continue documenting how military officers deal with protests that may at some points grow violent. Of course, the original problem is very often a dispersal of a sit-in or a protest that's taking place. So here again, we think it's important to keep documenting the fact that the use of force is never an appropriate political response. And in terms of an assessment that the military seems to have made, that dispersing protests using force is a low-cost measure to take politically, we've seen how this has backfired both in November and on this occasion. The military has the right as a law enforcement force to arrest individuals who attack public officials or attack law enforcement officers, but it doesn't have the right to kill them, it doesn't have the right to use excessive force, and it doesn't have the right to beat up unarmed protesters, including women, as we've seen in these past days. So a lot of our work is to continue to document, to provide a counter-narrative to that, to the official one provided by the military.
The government is depicting the protesters as hooligans. Some human rights organizations, including yours, say that is a complete distortion of the fact. Why is this so?
Well, the military has responded to every protest that it has seen as being politically illegitimate by trying to discredit the protesters themselves. This started as early as February 25th when the first sit-in was broken up by the military in Tahrir Square. Subsequently, on March 9th, on April 9th, end of July, we've seen this and heard the same rhetoric again and again and again and again. And the pattern is that the military tries to describe protesters as criminals, as thugs, as hooligans, to then justify its use of excessive force, saying all means must be used against these individuals. And the police was only acting, and the military police was only acting in self-defense to protect government buildings. And this is a very dangerous narrative to our mind, because we think a responsible military that cares about maintaining security in Egypt will try to do so within the framework of the rule of law. And if there are individuals who are found to have been involved in criminal activity, or if there are individuals who are caught throwing stones at a government building or attacking a police officer, then as we said, as a human rights organization, we fully recognize that the government and the authorities have the right to arrest those individuals. They also have the right to use proportionate and necessary force to de-escalate the situation and to bring calm into the situation. This is not what has been happening. And the military's rhetoric of calling protesters thugs and criminals is what scares us most, because to their mind, this is a license to use unrestrained force to subdue them. And this is basically a recipe for chaos. Unless the military, which is, you know, the primary political power in the country, but also the primary law enforcement force, uses a proportionate force and shows centralized and responsible command and control, and also that its officers are well trained and able to implement those commands, those instructions. Unless we can start seeing a genuine attempt to make this the case in terms of how law enforcement officials behave, this is really a very, very worrying situation and a recipe for chaos moving forward.
Do these unarmed protesters have the support of the majority of the public in Egypt?
No, I mean, at this stage, I think there's been very mixed reactions to different protests and sit-ins that have taken place. Increasingly over the last months, as Egyptians' economic concerns have increased, concerns about ongoing instability and incidents of violence have also increased, the average Egyptian's concerns about where the country is heading. So public sympathy for protest has decreased dramatically over the last months. In November, images of the kind of violence against unarmed protesters on television ignited a lot of public anger, and we saw a massive turnout in the square at levels that had not been seen since January, really. And this time round, the responses are a lot more mixed, because those responsible for the violence in this case, for the law enforcement authority responsible in this case is the military and not the police. And so for the first time, we've seen military officers engaging over several days with protesters. And this remains a very controversial issue in Egypt, because the military continues to deny any wrongdoing on multiple occasions, even after the October 9th protest, where military vehicles ran over 13 Coptic protesters and a further 14 were shot dead. Even after that incident, the military continued the narrative that it was the protector of the revolution and it was the only guarantor of stability in the country. And because of military control over state media, the state media narrative has remained in line with that position. And so public sentiment, for the most part, has not yet turned against the military, and there is decreased support and sympathy for protests that grow violence.